My best friend growing up was a radiogram, or at least that's what it feels like looking back on it, because the radiogram had a radio, and that radio would bring me sounds from London, would bring me sounds from the North Sea. In other words, it was my lifeline to the wider world. I was able to listen to cricket, ball by ball commentary from Australia at 4:30 in the morning via the BBC. I was able to listen to not just Luxembourg, not just Capital Radio, Caroline, Radio London. Of course, I was also able to listen to the Irish radio stations, but that radiogram was a heavy piece of furniture, and it sat in the front room of our house in what we call the drawing room. And if it was only the radio, and if I remember rightly, it had long wave, it had medium wave, maybe they were the only two waves it had, but it had more than that. It had a place where records were kept, vinyl records were kept. Classical vinyl records were kept in there. Two operas, Aida and Madame Butterfly. Don't remember either of those box sets of vinyls ever being played. What I do remember being played was Beethoven. Symphonies number 765. Now, I forget my Beethoven symphonies. Eroica, Pastoral, and whatever the other one was. The Ninth Symphony was not played. I don't remember my parents playing the Ninth Symphony, but I do remember my parents listening to Beethoven symphonies. Chopin. My father listened to Chopin piano music, and I left the room. I was quite okay with Beethoven symphonies, but there was absolutely no way I was able to listen to Chopin. And then there were the songs of Percy French. Percy French, are you right there, Michael? Are you right? But what I remember most, best of all, is Slattery's Mountain Foot, a song written in 1889 by Percy French. Let me give you a version of it. I don't know what is the best version to give you, but let me see if I can come up with a version of it here.
You've heard of Julius Caesar and the great Napoleon too, and how the Cork militia beat the Turks at Waterloo. But there's a page of glory that has yet remains uncut, and that's the warlike story of the Slattery Mountain Foot. This gallant band was organized by Slattery's eldest son, a noble-minded poacher with a double-breasted gun. And many a head was opened, aye, and many an eye was shut, while learning to maneuver in the Slattery Mountain Foot. And down from the mountain
came a squadron and platoon, 24 fighting men and a couple of stout garçons.
When going into action, held each musket by the butt, we sang a song and marched along with Slattery's Mounted Foot.
Well, I listened to that, and I can't think, what else did Percy French write? The Mountains of Moran. Let me find the Mountains of Moran. I'm putting myself back into that sitting room, sitting on a sofa, listening to the music that my father loved. I'd never been to the Mountains of Moran. I hadn't a clue where they were, really. I suppose I knew that they were in Northern Ireland, but the song soaked into me. And I'm sure it was probably this version of the song that soaked into me. Brendan O'Dowda singing The Mountains of Mourn.
On
this London's a wonderful sight, with the people all working by day and by night. Sure, they don't sow potatoes, nor barley, nor wheat, but there's gangs of them digging for gold in the street. At least when I asked them, that's what I was told. So I just took a hand at this digging for gold. But for all that I found there, I might as well be where the mountains of morn sweep down to the sea. There's beautiful girls here, but never mind. With beautiful shapes nature never designed, and lovely complexions, all roses and cream, as O'Loughlin remarked with regard to them same, that if at those roses you venture to sip, sure the colour would all come away on your lip. So I'll wait for my wild rose that's waiting for me, where the mountains of morn sweep down to the sea.
I can't resist playing a little bit of Beethoven, as much to remind me, because it might be 20 years and more, and maybe even 30 years, since I've listened to a Beethoven symphony. Well, if that was the seventh, the very beginning of the seventh, I don't see why I shouldn't find the fifth and see what that's like. I mean, this is going down memory lane. So let me have a go at this and see what the start of the fifth symphony is like. No. Wrong. Wrong one. Oh, yeah. No, I can't play any more of that. So that's the seventh and the fifth. Oh, I'll try one more, just for the fun of it. This is the sort of thing I really need to know about. So let's try and find the third. This is Eroica. This may well have been my father's favourite of all. Oh, I'm back on a soft armchair in front of a roaring fire. And on the right-hand side of the fireplace was a coal, not bucket, a place you put the coal, a brass one. Oh, yeah. There was a piano in the corner. I did piano lessons too, but I was never any good at it. And I never got past first grade piano. I suppose I should find some Chopin. I mean, if I'm going to put myself back into that house as a child, as a youngster, I mean, this went on over many years. It wasn't like as if there was concentrated focus on classical music. I'd go into that room and there'd be some music playing. And some of it would be Chopin. So let's go for a bit of Chopin. I was no good. It was absolutely no good for me. I had no taste for Chopin whatsoever. That room, that radiogram, it had a turntable. And what I remember was putting 78s down on there and playing them, putting 33 and a thirds down there and playing them, and putting 45s down there and playing them. And especially that magic of putting a collection of 45s and seeing them drop one after the other and play on top of each other. The day will never come again. But I can't remember any other classical music that I had in my life back then. My father never sang at all. My uncle, my mother's brother, he was a tenor. And this did have an influence on me because I really found the sound of him singing ever so embarrassing. So here's an example of something that I've heard, that I heard him sing many times, and that caused me as a youngster to snigger in behind the sofa.
Thank you.
My uncle never had this kind of background. Sometime later I'll talk about operatic music and tenors and who had such an influence on my life. But my dear uncle, may he rest in peace, he was the really talented singer in the family. And I wish that I had recorded him singing. I don't have any recordings of him singing. But at the time I'm thinking of now, which was both in our house in Limerick and in my cousin's house in Tramore, with his wife playing the piano as his accompanist, I was far from a fan.